Chapter 13. Dawn on Okto found the island shrouded in mist, tinted a fiery crimson by the rising suns. Trusting in Luke's promise that they would train at dawn, Rey had abandoned her vigil outside his door to sleep in a hut of her own, though the stone bench inside the structure she'd chosen offered no more comfort than the one in the clearing. She rose, blinking at the sunlight streaming through her narrow window, and then stopped. For a moment, she thought she'd seen someone in the hut with her. A tall, pale figure sitting quietly, with a dark, bulbous shape hovering over it and touching its face. And it was almost as if she felt something pulling at her own cheek, tracing a line up from her jaw. She looked up, and her eyes widened. Kylo Ren sat there, his cheek bisected by an angry red line, the wound she had branded him with in the snows of Starkiller Base. Its upper reaches were still stitched shut with sutures. Terrified, Rey fumbled for the blaster she carried in her holster, raised it, and fired! She thought she saw Kylo flinch as the blaster spat energy in his direction, the noise startlingly loud in the confines of the stone hut. But he wasn't there. Rey lowered the gun, her hand shaking slightly, and stared at the smoking hole she'd blown in the wall. There was no sign of her mortal enemy. The dark, menacing figure that had frozen her on Takodana and spirited her off to Starkiller Base, where he'd killed Han Solo and nearly killed Finn. But she knew she hadn't dreamed it. He'd been there. She bolted out of the hut, looking in all directions. Nothing. Just the morning chill and the cries of porgs diving in groups from the cliffs to bombard schools of fish below. And then, instantly, Kylo was there. This time, she knew he saw her too. He lifted his hand, staring at her, and she could hear his voice.
"You will bring Luke Skywalker to me," he said.
But unlike on Starkiller Base, no invisible fingers burrowed into Rey's brain to root through her thoughts and secrets. Unlike on Takodana, her body responded to her commands, not his. They were just words, and held no power over her. She smirked, and Kylo lowered his hand in surprise.
"You're not doing this. The effort would kill you."
He peered at her, curious now.
"Can you see my surroundings?"
He sounded like a student contemplating an interesting problem and expecting her to work as his partner to solve it. That infuriated her.
"You're going to pay for what you did," she said.
But he ignored her.
"I can't see yours. Just you,"
Kylo said.
"So no, this is something else."
That was when Luke emerged from his hut, blinking at the morning light. Rey turned to face the Jedi Master, panic accelerating her heartbeat. Would Kylo see Luke? Would he somehow know where the last of the Jedi was? Had she done something wrong? Unlocked some gate that had desperately needed to stay shut? When she turned back, Kylo's expression told her instantly that while he might not have seen Luke, he had seen her reaction and understood what it meant.
"Luke?"
he asked, his eyes eager and hungry, like a predator catching its prey's scent.
"What's this about?" asked Luke.
Rey's eyes returned to the Jedi Master's face, expecting to see anger and betrayal there. But Luke just looked puzzled, until, to her horror, he pointed past her, directly at where this strange visitation stood. She forced herself to follow his gaze, but Kylo was gone. Luke was pointing at the hole in the side of her hut. Kylo was gone, but she and Luke weren't alone. Half a dozen aliens had emerged from the mist and were milling about the huts, one of them inspecting the damaged wall in consternation. Rey knew immediately that these new arrivals were real, and that they were no threat to her. They had broad faces and three-toed feet, and their stout bodies were hidden beneath simple robes of beige and white. They reminded Rey of the anchorites of Jakku, who'd found its wastes ideal for a simple life of religious observation and adherence. She realized Luke was still waiting for an answer to his question, and so were the aliens. Rey's first instinct was to tell him the truth, in hopes that he might be able to help her close off the unwanted connection before it became more dangerous. But something told her that would be a mistake. Luke had stopped pretending she didn't exist, but their relationship was fragile and perilous. The slightest misstep, Rey sensed, would cause him to reject her even before the first lesson he'd promised. No, she had to tell him something else.
I was cleaning my blaster, she managed. It went off.
Luke didn't look any less puzzled by that explanation, but the aliens seemed to accept it, albeit grumpily. Within moments, they were removing fish from baskets, sharpening knives, and angrily yanking loose stones from the damaged wall. Luke inclined his chin at the stairs climbing higher up the mountain. As Rey turned to follow him, one of the aliens glowered at her, then turned to Luke.
"Chugachiga Chupa,"
she asked, or something like that.
"Croupy," Luke replied.
The alien looked decidedly dubious. Certain she'd made a poor first impression, Rey followed Luke up the winding steps until she thought they were out of earshot of the activity around the huts.
"What were those things?" she asked.
"Caretakers," he replied. "Island natives. They've kept up the Jedi structures since they were built."
"What did you tell them about me?" she asked.
Luke gave her a thin smile.
"My niece."
"Oh, I don't think they like me."
"Can't imagine what gave you that idea."
Rey followed Luke across the grassy saddle above the huts, and then up another set of winding stone steps. This staircase followed a rocky prominence that loomed above the island and the sea beyond. She was still shaken by the manifestation of Kylo Ren, in a place she had come to think of, at least, as Luke's sanctuary, even if it wasn't hers. After he'd immobilized her on Tako Dana, Kylo had taken her to Starkiller Base to pry her memory of the map to Luke out of her head. He had probed her thoughts, sifting and sorting, and seen much that she would have kept from him. Him and anybody else. Her desperate certainty that her abandonment on Jakku had been a mistake, or a grim necessity that would be put right by her lost family if only she waited long enough and patiently enough. Her terror and despair that she was deluding herself and would spend her days in solitude, ending up as anonymous bones in the sand. Her dreams of an island amid a trackless ocean, the very island on which she now found herself. Kylo had rummaged through these hopes and fears, things he had no right to. But as he searched, something had changed. Even as he callously rifled through her mind, he had somehow revealed his own. Rey found herself in his mind even as he invaded hers. She felt his rage, like a ruinous storm that filled his head, and his hatred, and his lust to dominate and humiliate those who had wronged him. But she also felt his hurt, and his loneliness, and his fear that he would never prove as strong as Darth Vader, the ghost who haunted his dreams. Kylo had retreated at finding Rey in his head, had practically fled from her. But that had not been the end of that strange, sudden connection. She had seen more, far more. Somehow, almost instinctually, she knew how he accessed some of the powers at his command, even though she didn't understand them. It was as if his training had become hers, unlocking and flinging open door after door in her mind. But now, Ray couldn't shut those doors, and she feared what had been set loose. Kylo had urged her to let him be her teacher, had pleaded with her almost. She had rejected him, only to be rejected in turn by Luke. Until this morning, Rey had traveled halfway across the galaxy so that Luke would help those who needed him so desperately. Leia, Finn, the Resistance, the people of the galaxy. But she also hoped he would help her. Rose was simultaneously annoyed and amused when Poe insisted on going over the plan one more time, pulling her and Finn into a ready room off the hangar to do so.
"You could just come with us, you know," she said, exasperated.
Poe's face fell, and Rose felt sorry for him. He wanted to do just that. Wanted to so badly that it was killing him.
"Someone has to stay here and keep an eye on things," he said, "on General Organa."
"3PO can do that," Finn said.
"Well, someone has to keep an eye on Holdo, too."
Considering that, Finn reached up to scratch his chin. When he did so, Rose spotted the glow of the beacon around the former stormtrooper's wrist, the twin of the device Rey had taken with her into the unknown regions. Poe saw it, too.
"Better leave that with me, buddy," he said, reaching for Finn's wrist.
Finn drew back instinctively, and Rose saw the indecision on his face. His original goal had been to take the beacon far from the fleet and the danger to it, and now he was being asked to abandon that goal.
"The General sent your friend to bring back Skywalker so he can help us," Poe said. "It's not going to do the Resistance any good if he shows up at Canto Bite."
Rose knew immediately what Finn was thinking. The former stormtrooper would have been a terrible sabacc player.
"Give that thing to Poe already," she told him. "You want to save Rey? Then save the fleet. That's why we're doing this, remember?"
Rose saw the look of surprise that crossed Poe's face, followed by dawning comprehension as the pieces fell into place.
"I just want her to be safe," Finn said unhappily.
"So do I,"
Poe told Finn, his voice surprisingly gentle.
"But this is a lot bigger than Rey, or any of us. It's about everybody in the galaxy. So come on, let me have that. I promise I won't let it get out of my sight."
For a moment, Rose was afraid Finn would refuse. But then, he reluctantly worked the beacon free of his wrist, placing it in Poe's hand.
"You see?"
Rose said.
"That was easy."
But Finn's face told her that hadn't been true at all. As she followed Luke up the steps, Rey saw that the stairway ended in a cave in the side of the peak. She followed Luke inside, where an ancient mosaic was still visible in the middle of the stone floor. But this wasn't their destination. Luke led her out onto a pair of ledges, one high and one low. It was a dizzying vantage point from which the island seemed to fall away into the endless sea surrounding them. Luke watched her for a moment, idly twisting a reed in his hand, and Rey wondered if he somehow thought she was afraid of heights. She wasn't, and never had been. She'd still been a child when she'd scaled the conning tower of her first wrecked Star Destroyer.
"So?"
she asked him.
"So?"
Rey tried not to scowl. So far the morning when he'd teach her the ways of the Jedi wasn't terribly different from the mornings on which he'd refused to speak to her.
"Well, I'll start," she said.
"We need you to bring the Jedi back, because Kylo Ren is strong with the dark side of the Force. Without the Jedi, we won't stand a chance against him."
Rey half imagined Luke would walk back into the cave and down the stairs, leaving her to wonder what test she'd failed this time. but he simply peered at her.
What do you know about the Force?
He asked.
It's a power that Jedi have, that lets them control people and make things float.
For a moment, the only sounds were the cries of seabirds and the whine of the wind.
Impressive, Luke said. Every word in that sentence was wrong. Lesson one. Sit here, legs crossed.
Rey settled herself on the higher of the two ledges, arranging her legs awkwardly in a crisscross position.
The Force is not a power you have, Luke said. It's not about lifting rocks. It's the energy between all things. A tension, a balance that binds the universe together.
Okay, but what is it?
Close your eyes, Luke told her. Breathe. Now, reach out.
Rey did as she was told and tentatively stretched out her arm, fingers grasping for purchase.
Nothing happened. Was something supposed to? Did it take a while? Was he testing her patience?
Back on Jakku, the Tetos had venerated a sun-addled local who sat unmoving atop a stone pillar all day. She'd hoped learning the ways of the Jedi wouldn't require anything like that. But apparently she'd been wrong.
Then, Rey felt something strange, like a tickle on her hand.
Oh! She told Luke. I feel something.
You feel it?
Yes, I feel it.
That's the Force.
Really?
Rey asked. She couldn't help feeling pleased with herself. After all, she'd only been reaching out for a few seconds at most.
Wow, it must be really strong with you.
Rey was wondering why her early breakthrough amused Luke.
When pain flared through her outstretched hand, she yelped, eyes snapping open,
and realized Luke had whipped her hand with the reed, just as he'd been tickling her with it earlier. Hoping her face wasn't red, she put one hand over her heart.
You meant reach out like... Okay, got it. I'll try again.
She closed her eyes and felt Luke take her hands with his rough, calloused ones, directing them to the rock on either side of her.
Breathe, he said. Just breathe. Now, reach out with your feelings. What do you see?
The image came to her almost immediately and was reassuringly familiar. The island, seen as if she were one of the seabirds overhead, just as it had looked in her dreams back on Jakku. But almost immediately, there was more. The images were vivid, almost hallucinatory. But later she couldn't be sure if she'd seen them in her mind's eye or somehow actually experienced them as her awareness expanded out from her body to encompass the island and the sea around it. Her first impression was life. Life all around her. She could sense herself and the caretakers pottering about near the huts. But there was so much more than that. She felt the presence of flowers and grasses and shrubs, birds and insects and fish, and creatures too tiny for the eye to see. Her awareness of all of it seemed to crowd her senses, plunging her into something so deep and intense that for a moment she thought she might drown in it, only to realize that was impossible because she was a part of that life. But there was death, too, and decay. Dead flesh and vegetable matter sinking into soil that hid bones and dry sticks from bygone seasons of the island. She shrank from this new awareness, but sensed almost immediately that there was nothing to fear. From the death and decay sprang new life, nourished by what had come before. She could feel the warmth of the suns
not just on her face, but on the rocks and the surface of the ceaseless tumble of the water. And cold, too, which surrounded the dark places where the roots of the island and the seafloor were revealed as one and the same. There was peace. Mother porgs with their eggs, sheltered and safe in warm hollows. But also violence that left behind broken nests and shattered shells. And all that her senses showed her had been but a moment. That moment was but one of trillions, part of a never-ending cycle that had begun eons before she was born and would go on for eons after she was dead. And it was itself part of something vastly larger, so enormous that her mind couldn't grasp it. An immensity even the stars were but the tiniest portion of. Ray, her eyes still closed, tried to tell Luke what she had experienced, frustrated that her words were so small and inadequate.
"And between it all?" she heard him ask.
"A balance. An energy," she said, wanting to laugh. "A force."
"And inside you?"
"Inside me. That same force." She opened her eyes and was faintly surprised to find Luke unchanged, a weather-beaten, gray-bearded man in workaday clothes designed for sun and salt and wind.
"And this is the lesson. That force does not belong to the Jedi," Luke said. "It's so much bigger. To say that if the Jedi die, the light dies is vanity. Can you feel that? Can you understand that?"
She could. But a new presence was calling to her awakened senses. "There's something here," she said. "Right here. A powerful light. Blinding."
"This is the first Jedi temple," Luke said. "A concentration of light."
Ray wondered how they'd found it so long ago, those first Jedi explorers, and thought she knew. They'd followed a whisper in the Force, plunging into the trackless churn of the galaxy's stars and trusting the Force to find pathways through them. She tried to imagine the bravery and faith they needed to do that. "But there's something else," she said, realizing. "Beneath the island, a place, a dark place." She could see it now in her mind's eye. Rocky flats by the sea, ominous and cold, with a dark hole in the rock.
"Balance," Luke said,
and there was a twinge of concern in his voice.
"Powerful light, powerful darkness."
"It's cold. It's calling me."
The ledge trembled beneath her, and dust and rocks fell from the cliffs around them.
"Resist it,"
Luke urged her.
"Ray, fight it."
Dimly, Ray heard his voice calling her name, but it faded away to nothing, until all Ray could hear was the roaring of water. She was standing on the cold, rocky shore from her vision, moving as if hypnotized toward a black hole before her, the source of that roar. Sound built, reaching a crescendo as water shot out of the rock. With a start, Ray found herself on the ledge. Luke was drawing back his hand. He had slapped her. She gasped for breath, feeling like she'd been dragged out of deep water. Her face was wet. At first, she thought it was her imagination, but her hair was dripping, and she could taste salt on her tongue. The Jedi Master's eyes were wary and fixed on her. "That place can show me something," Ray managed to explain. "It was trying to..."
"You went straight to the dark," Luke said. "It offered you something you needed, and you didn't even try to stop yourself."
He turned his back on her,
but she reached out a shaky hand to stop him. Because she had realized something else. Something she knew immediately that Luke would have wanted to keep from her.
I saw everything, she said. The island, and past it, I felt the stars singing. I thought my heart would explode. But I didn't see you. Nothing from you. No light, no dark. You've closed yourself off from the Force.
Luke stared at her, his face pale and drawn.
I've seen this raw strength only once before, in Ben Solo, he said. It didn't scare me enough then. It does now.
Rey shrank back from what she saw in his gaze, and was relieved when Luke walked away from her into the darkness of the ancient temple.